Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today for Boggy Talk. How are you all?
Great.
All you all, both of you.
Yeah, doing fine.
Good. We're in the same shirts as last week.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're pre-recording.
That's right.
Because
right.
I'm on vacation as this drops. So,
okay.
You know.
Yes. And yeah. Excuse me, I can't speak apparently in the past hour. Josiah's at college orientation, so Christy is with him, and I'm single dad in this
You're
week.
You're holding down That's the right. fort. Yeah.
Holding down That's the good. Fort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's beginning of June, and a lot of stuff going on. Our next few
kids
weeks.
Kids are student MFuge
Yeah, they're
week.
At yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
They're at MFuge.
That's right. That's
yes.
right. We got kids at camp.
I could be there myself,
Kids clubs are
actually,
coming.
So we'll see if that happens.
That's right. You might be.
Oh, you are like
you
the backup? Are you the
I
alternate?
I am the backup,
oh, okay.
yes.
You might be at MFuge. So time will tell.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Thanks for your willingness
to serve. In
the past,
I would have said, oh, that means you're definitely going. But, you know, maybe yes. not.
You yes. never know.
Yeah.
The Lord, the Lord will provide yeah. someone else or myself. So we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah,
that's right.
But yeah, so for the next few weeks, we are going to be talking about the SBC.
The Southern Baptist Convention.
Yes,
for those
you do not
right.
know
what SBC.
Not grown up with that lingo, all the acronyms.
Yes.
So yeah, the reason why we're doing that is our church is part of the Southern Baptist Convention.
That's
but
right.
also, James, you are part of the executive committee.
I am a member.
Wow,
the
I feel so
committee.
Privileged to oh. be. I mean, especially, you know, since you walk around the office with an executive committee name
T-shirt.
Tag on to remind us all of
I do.
Your
that's
level
your
of
You're
supremacy.
The one that's wearing the
I am wearing a
yeah.
New Hampshire
swag.
From
there
the SBC that's
yeah.
kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
So what does it actually mean being part of the executive
oh.
committee?
What do you actually do?
Yeah, what do you actually do?
Pull back the curtain.
The executive committee are basically the trustees to this, of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Okay.
Executive convention, yeah. So,
so they're like a board.
Yeah, basically okay. we're a board. Yes, and then we're broken up
there's
into
how many?
80 members. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. so we're broken up into, and I think there's like certain amount per state based on how many churches there are in those or members
okay.
of churches there are in those states.
So it's kind of like Congress.
I think there's so four from Florida
like
or five because we're one of the larger ones.
Oh, okay.
So four or five from Florida.
Hmm.
Five. Yeah, there's five of us from Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, and so for 4 to 8 years, or unless if you want to quit, you are kind of involved in making sure what is voted on at the SBC happens.
Okay.
So the budget, overseeing, you know, there's a staff, but like mm-hmm. overseeing that staff, working with that staff, there's decisions to be made, referrals to be decided on. You know, we're not NAM and IMB and all those have their own boards, but we're kind of making sure they're doing
okay.
what the Southern Baptist Convention has asked them
Everyone's
to do.
In alignment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a couple meetings a year, basically. We're broken up into subgroups. I'm on the one they call the party planning committee because we're the one that we're the one that deals with the actual convention event.
Oh, okay.
So deciding where it's going to be, which mm-hmm. is ultimately voted on by the messengers, but, you know, helping with that. And
what is that, the messengers?
The people that go to the SBC.
Okay.
Vote.
They
okay.
represent their churches.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And part of the reason I was willing to be on this is I was nominated, but also our church, you know, is I mean, we're in the top 10, I think,
yeah.
in our state in terms of amount given in the cooperative program.
Wow.
Top 200 in the country. And so we give a sizable amount of
mm-hmm.
our budget to
mm-hmm.
the cooperative program.
Yeah. Okay.
So that helps me to think, man, we do need to
right.
stay tethered to what's
right.
going
yeah.
on
mm-hmm.
As much as we can.
And for the record, yeah, we give 8% of our budget to
of our
okay.
Undesignated
yeah,
budget.
Yes, exactly. And that's not counting what's given to church planting revitalization
yeah.
and missions, mm-hmm. et cetera, but
8%
yeah. goes
so
to the
So it's like $287,000
yeah.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
so
a lot.
So every church gets to decide their percentage?
They do.
They do.
As long as you give $250 a year, you can be a part of the SBC.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not everybody who's on the executive committee is a pastor.
Correct.
It's
yeah.
it's
there's a certain amount of lay
yeah.
people,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
means
exactly.
non-ordained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you are going to be going to a meeting, but it's the convention meeting. Right?
There is an executive committee meeting at the Southern Baptist Convention, but yes, the Southern Baptist Convention
mm-hmm.
exists for 2 days, and those 2 days are next week.
Okay.
A year, 2 days a year, sorry.
All right. So a lot of you might not know this, but, you know, we can see analytics, things like that from the Boggy Talk episodes. And this topic is actually one of our most viewed episodes, anything on the SBC.
Right, yeah.
Which, I don't know, is interesting. Why do we think that is?
I think it's kind of the same principle of, you know, when there's a traffic accident and traffic slows down because it's on the other side of the road and people want to just see. I'm just kidding. I do think... I just think there are, as particularly in the past, you know, I mean, every year it seems there's something, but particularly in the past several years, there have been leading up to the convention certain issues, kind of different issues each year, but the common threads. And there has been a lot of attention leading up to the convention, particularly in social media, and voices going back and forth. There's been contention leading to the convention, different voices representing different perspectives. And so things have been escalated. And truthfully, there's not a lot of people, churches or pastors, just talking about what's going on as unbiasedly as possible, right.
If you search it, you're not going to find a lot. Like, I have thought, like, hey, I would like to hear a lot of perspectives on this. I'm like, there's really not a lot out there.
Yeah.
And really, we were started doing this mainly just to keep our church informed of what's going on.
I wasn't on the EC when we...
Because we felt like it was valuable for the church to know, hey, this is what's happening at the SBC with the convention. But I do think people just have found it because they've searched for videos or they've searched for podcasts on the Southern Baptist Convention and landed here. So, hey, guys. Yeah. Glad you're tuning in.
That makes sense.
Two guys with big noses opinions of the ACC, and that they found us.
Yeah.
Should I put that as the hashtag?
For those who, this is their, the only time they listen to Boggy Talk is now they're like, oh, who's this lady here?
There's a woman.
On that side making assumptions about
wrong drift side. So I've lost some followers. Sorry, guys.
Yes. So keep us going, Prophetess Kelly. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, so next week we're going to talk a little bit about more of the specific issues that you guys go over at the convention.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about the overall tensions in the SBC. So what are they?
Yeah.
I guess a list.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a list. I would say let's start with the first one. The first is there is an overall decline in membership amongst churches in the SBC. I mean, not just churches involved in the SBC, but membership in the SBC. So that is a concern that has been brought up, and there's been, you know, people have ideas and thoughts on why. But that would be, I would say, number
one. I mean, when you have any group and the number of people who are participating in that group continues to decline somewhat significantly, that's whether that's good or bad, that is something to be reckoned with. You know, that's something that you have to deal with. And so we are seeing more and more churches withdraw from the SBC, and we're also seeing more and more of those churches have less members. Obviously, if you're part of our church, you're probably like, what? You know, and there are a lot of healthy, growing churches in the SBC, but the overall picture is that there are less in the SBC. And so that has implications financially, just in many ways. So that is a big deal.
Is that something that, is that like a thing that's discussed?
Regularly. So baptisms are up, but membership is down. You know, and I think one of the reasons is that churches, Baptist churches, like this church at one point, I think had like 500 people here and 1,800 members. Where now we have like 1,200 people here and like 1,000 members. Like, so we actually have cleaned up our roles to say, okay, these people are not part of our members of our
They've
church.
They've moved. They're not here. They're no longer alive.
They don't come. Haven't been to anything in 15 years, you know? And so I think there has been a desire for churches to clean that up, you know.
Okay.
There's a lot of things. Yeah. That's a whole episode in itself right there.
Okay. So decline in membership is one. Another would be maybe the effectual decline of the program itself.
The cooperative program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So and what do you mean by that, just as far as –
The
amount given to the cooperative program. So that is going back to what, that is what makes a church a cooperating church with the Southern Baptist Convention, is that they give funds to the cooperative program that is then allocated for International Mission Board, the North American Mission Board, for the seminaries, the ERLC, and the executive committee itself. So there are people, there are churches, because of the decline in membership, some churches are giving less. Other churches are intentionally giving less. And some of that is because the churches themselves may be more engaged in missions themselves, and so they don't see the need to give as much to the cooperative program. Others, it's because they don't agree with some of the actions taken, and so they are purposefully withholding or escrowing their cooperative program giving.
Or diverting it directly to IMB now. So what? How ideally it works, the cooperative program budget is $190 million, and that has not been increasing, which means that you're effectually decreasing because inflation has been wild. So that $190 million is given to the executive committee, which then disperses that those funds upon the allocations that are agreed upon by the messengers, which is like 51% to NAM or to the IMB, and like I'm messing up right now, 27% to NAM, you know.
Yeah.
But what is happening is some churches are saying, well, because we don't agree with what's been happening at the EC, the executive committee, previously, since I've been on there, before I was on there. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, I really wasn't a part of all that.
Yeah.
They're saying, well, we're going to just give directly to IMB. We're going to give directly to NAM. And so it's kind of disrupting the model that has been used for a long time.
Okay.
And then I think he pointed out, and just overall a lot of giving is going down.
Yeah.
When you have churches leaving, they don't do it anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think, I mean, part of it is even just as a culture, people don't have as much trust in institutions. And so as, you know, the congregations age and new leaders come, and they don't have the same affection or affinity towards the cooperative program and leadership in certain churches as generations before. That's a real piece of
But to be clear about this, I mean, our state is also, which is very healthy. There's not drama in the Florida Baptist Convention. The cooperative program is down significantly in the state. And that's something to be dealt with. And so like at one of the last meetings, I wasn't actually, I'm on our state board as well. I wasn't able to be there, but one of the guys was like, hey, at our church, if giving goes down, we start talking about what we're going to cut.
Yeah.
You know, and so like the point is that if this doesn't change, things have to change.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if here we started not meeting budget, which is possible, it doesn't mean everything's bad. Just means, I mean, if a recession hit, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we've got to deal with implications of that. Yeah.
Well, and what you had said too, I think it also depends on the church of how much emphasis, importance, or even acknowledgement of the program that they have. I know growing up or being at other churches, like that was, they wanted to be known as, you know, Southern Baptist, and they were a part of that, but it maybe wasn't something that was really shared. Maybe the effects of the different organizations and things like that. And so I think each church
I'm conflicted on that. We're in a position where we can give 8% and still do a lot to missions because of the size of our church, where we're at, the demographics, you know. But there are churches that are like, well, we're not able to do our own stuff and engage our members because we're giving 8% or 10% or 5% of the cooperative program. And I get that tension.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, it's easy for our church to say, well, all churches should be given at least 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't because every context is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So people, you said maybe that there was a decline in membership. There were some financial implications. There was, what year was it that the kind of the sex abuse? Okay, so 2021, there was the kind of the sex abuse scandal came to light. And so there were a lot of lawsuits, a lot of legal things that are associated with all of that.
I think this is something that people are not clear on. There's always lawsuits going on.
Right.
And have been for decades.
Yeah.
But in 2021, following the Catholic Church's scandal, you know, in the teens, the Houston Chronicle put out an article about sex abuse in the SBC, which wasn't entirely accurate, but also didn't paint the full picture because of the size of the SBC. But either way, did highlight that there have been instances of abuse. At the same time, you have more and more a few prominent people who are telling their story of sex abuse that happened within Southern Baptist churches or institutions. 2021, something was done about that. Over the next few years, at the SBC and at the executive committee, decisions were made that basically caused the executive committee to have to pay the legal bills for Guidepost and other organizations. And so the SBC has spent, not because of regular lawsuits, because that's covered by insurance, but because of those actions, like $14 million.
Wow.
So they've depleted their reserves.
Okay.
So one group is saying the SBC has not done enough to deal with sex abuse. One group is saying, hey, we're doing the best we can. And one group is saying, hey, you have recklessly spent money.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have, and then obviously, simplify that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that has just created division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's led to the decline of the cooperative program. It's led to depletion of reserves. It's led to the fact that, are we talking about this? It's led to the fact that this year the budget is going to involve $3 million in legal fees off mm-hmm. the top from mm-hmm. the $190 million, mm-hmm. which basically takes from every entity. But the EC can't keep going without that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to sell their building downtown, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, like commercial buildings in Asheville are actually on a decline.
Yeah.
So it may not be the best time to do that. So the point is that that has just created, I would say, not chaos, but tension.
Yeah, tension. Yeah, a very dark cloud over it all because of the different groups and different opinions and different perceptions of how it all should be handled.
Yeah. The real financial implications that are ongoing is that people who were included in the guidepost report and some other things are saying are suing for defamation of character.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So alleged abusers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the SBC will be the executive committee. All those will be those charges will be dropped or dismissed, whatever the legal term is. But they're paying legal fees to mm-hmm. deal with it for right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Because people jump on those things.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can Google Jennifer Lyell. You can Google Johnny Hunt. You can Google David Sills, and you can find out more that I probably – I don't want to accidentally be the one that reveals stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So with that, I mean, I think you might have hit on this already with the distrust – that can bring a distrust mm-hmm. of leadership whenever you're dealing with money and mm-hmm. where it's going and all of mm-hmm. that. Did you have anything else you wanted to speak to with that? Or
there's a lot of target on the North American Mission Board from not the public, but from pastors
mm-hmm.
who feel like there's a lack of transparency mm-hmm. in how money is being spent.
Yeah.
I definitely think, and I do think that I'm waiting to see. This is one that I have I don't think anybody's doing anything dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we've got it. We're very transparent here at mm-hmm. our church about how money's spent and probably pretty detailed comparatively. And I think the SBC entities need to figure out how to be more detailed
mm-hmm. yeah.
and forthright.
Right.
And you can't publish salaries because you know,
and
I don't know how many employees NAM has, but let's say we have 100 and you have two peers. They don't need to know if one's making more than the other. Mm-hmm. Like you can't do that, you know. But I do think some people will not be satisfied till they know how much Kevin mm-hmm. Ezell makes, which is, you know, he makes a lot.
Yeah,
I mean he does. You know, I mean, he has a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of business guys would say he doesn't make enough, and a lot of small church pastors would say too much.
Yeah.
But I do think in general. So while we're not going that degree, we've got to figure out like how are we openly communicating financial mm-hmm. information better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that makes sense. So, and anytime you talk about money, it's just all easy and everyone agrees mm-hmm. and all that. So, another thing that has come up recently has been women's roles in the church.
Yes.
A lot of division on that.
Yep. Yes. And that will probably continue to be an issue this year. So, yeah.
It will be an issue mm-hmm. this year.
Till the mm-hmm. end of time.
Probably. Yeah, you know, you can go back and listen to our episodes the last few years. You know, Rick Warren and Rick Warren in when we were in Irvine in 2022 or not Irvine, Anaheim in 2022, right? Yeah. Basically, you know, was brought up that people wanted to get rid of them. And mm-hmm. then the next year we voted them out in New Orleans in 2023 because they had a women teaching pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Those things are typically being handled. Like in the SBC, if a church has a woman teaching pastor, they are being removed
mm-hmm.
or they're withdrawing themselves. But there are those who want to define that better.
Mm.
And the problem, I get what they're saying, but the problem is, you know, we don't have any. We're conservative about who we call a pastor, even guys. You know,
right.
Like,
uh-huh.
But So I agree theologically that women aren't the real pastor, but for a long time, methodologically, people have used that term not the way the Bible means it. Mm-hmm. And so to just black and white say every church that has any female called pastor of any kind needs to be out has major implications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's those who like women shouldn't speak at all on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Well, we can debate that actually, you know, and so but they'd say there shouldn't be. And we're just bigger. We're a lot. I'm not going to tell how many churches because I'm going to do that for a trivia question in just a second.
Great.
But like, I know I'm talking a lot, but I mean, it's probably because I'm involved in this.
Right.
But like, the point is that just keeps being an issue that because it doesn't get resolved, I think creates more tension. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, but an issue complicating that even talking about this issue at the convention level is the fact that the Southern Baptist Convention is autonomous churches cooperating together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, every church, because they are autonomous, is using this word. I mean, maybe they shouldn't be, but they are using labels and titles differently across the board. And we've talked about that, you know, in years past. So that complicates the issue in terms of what roles people have because people are using different language for those roles.
Yeah, I think, this will get to the last one, tribalism. You know, I think our culture is becoming more tribalistic where we find our tribe and that's more nuanced and more niche than it has been historically. And the SBC has always kind of had that, but now everybody knows it because of Twitter and Instagram and all that. And so I think like the SBC has been big tent philosophy and there are those who are challenging that.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying who's right or wrong, but that has not been what the SBC is. We had a family leave our church recently, and it's just ultimately they want to be somewhere that's a little more focused in on theologically where they're at. And they probably should go to a church.
Mm-hmm.
But how come our church and their church, like I would say, could still be a part of the SBC together?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a Methodist church, like we probably are going to struggle with teaching seminaries together and things like that.
Right, right? Yeah.
And I think that the line is being drawn. Mm. New lines are being drawn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what we're seeing played out in the public forum, you know.
Yeah, and then everybody wants to be the one that's saying their tribe is right.
We're right.
So.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone thinks they're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have a game.
Not
maybe.
Really.
Okay, a question or two.
Great.
I
probably know nothing.
I'm just going to ask you guys a few SBC questions just to see how much you know.
So SBC
about it.
Trivia, if you will, is this what this is?
Sure.
All right. I love trivia.
Yeah, more so just like interesting things. Okay. All right. So first, what are the two primary missionary organizations of the Southern Baptist Convention?
Okay, I know this. So you got this one.
NAM and IMB.
Yeah. What do they stand for, Kelly?
North American Missions Board and International Missions
Board.
Way to go.
Yay.
I learned something since working here, guys.
There you go.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay. This year, the Cooperative Program is celebrating a milestone anniversary. Do you know what anniversary that is?
125.
I didn't think it was.
Years.
No, I have no idea.
100.
100. Oh,
okay.
Just 100?
Yeah, only in 1925
how
was
far
when.
We've come.
So Southern Baptists have existed before then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But 1925 was when the co-op program was started.
So hey, wow. Look at that.
Where churches were like, we need
to
come together.
Are they like trying to play that up in marketing somehow?
Oh, God.
I'm sure. If every church will give 100%
more.
100% more.
Okay. What year, though, was the SBC founded? It was before 1925.
Before?
1910 is in my mind, but that's also
when our church
started. The year, exactly. I was about to say that's because of this year. The actual SBC, man, this class was a long time ago in seminary. It's like 1875.
So think about why the SBC was started.
It goes back, so it's closer to the Civil War.
Wow, no idea.
Pre-Civil War, 1845.
45, okay, there you go.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
The issue was division over could you still own slaves, and the Southern Baptist Convention were Baptist churches that thought it was okay to still own slaves.
How ironic.
And there's obviously been lots of Baptist leaders and conventions have said, that's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
People can change.
Yes, that's right. People can change.
I think it was more nuanced than we're making it sound. Mm-hmm. I don't think all those churches were like, yeah, we should have slaves. I think some of them were just like, okay, as we figure this out,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you can't. You're just going to kick us out, you know, if we mm-hmm. still have slaves. But, you know, yes. I don't know. I wasn't alive in 1845, so I can't speak to all that. But mm-hmm. how many SBC congregations were there as of 2024? So ACP.
Reporting. Is this global or just in
the US? Yeah, this is global.
Okay.
Global.
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't you say...
We're gonna
what
go,
did you say about 16,000?
I was wrong what I said earlier.
20,000.
20,000?
Okay. 20,000.
46,000.
Oh, we were going too small. That's 46? Global.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And those Baptists love to count like every group of two or three or more gathered. Yeah, we're counting it.
Okay, and then who is the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention? I posted a picture with him on President's Day in case.
Really? Oh, you're going to pass this,
Jeff, I don't know how to say his last name.
No, that's the president of the EC.
Oh, okay. Then, I don't remember his name, but I don't remember his name.
Daniel?
Daniel something?
No.
I had no idea.
But there was a Daniel who was the president of the pastor's conference a couple years ago.
Okay.
His name is Clint Presley.
Presley, there you go. There.
He's a very sharp-dressed guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Thanks for your service, Clint.
Yeah, good guy. Okay.
Also my middle name.
All right. Here's a funny question. Why can't Baptist people go to dances? This is what AI says.
AI is wrong. We can go to dances, and some of us like it.
We do.
There was a prohibition against dancing because I'm sure it's related to alcohol somewhere, like prohibition and some kind of thing that was passed one time.
The three summaries is the potential for lust, association with unwholesome environments. You know, just like, you know, who dances, you know, and distracting from God. Can't do anything that distracts from God.
Amen. Mm.
Yeah. But it does say that this is what AI thinks about us. and apparently Young Sheldon dealt with this on an episode, too.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
Father-daughter dances are an exception.
Oh, okay.
Toddler dancing. You don't have to stop your toddler from dancing.
Thank goodness. When VeggieTales
is on. What is the age of accountability?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Toddler
and some forms of worship in the Baptist church.
Wow. Oh. That's some liberty.
Yeah.
I don't think we do any of that.
shoulders bounce.
What year did the SBC first publicly apologize for slavery? So remember, 1845, it was started because of slavery. Again,
I would say recent
history. I don't know.
It was like in the 70s?
That might be generous. I don't know. 80s? I've got no clue.
1995.
Okay, I was thinking it was more.
Took Rodney King for us to apologize.
Man.
I think that happened around that. No, earlier 90s, yeah. By the way, the Southern Baptist Convention is the biggest Protestant denomination in the United States. The biggest body of Christians is?
Roman Catholic.
Yeah, and then secondly. I appreciate that you say Roman Catholic because that needs to be emphasized.
That needs to be emphasized.
Because they're like, we're the Catholic Church. Like, no, you're the Roman Catholic
Church. Catholic means universal church.
Yes, exactly. And the Orthodox would disagree with you.
Yes.
So would other people. Okay.
Kelly's like, y'all are some weeds I never seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it. It's okay. Great.
Yeah, that's about it. We're good.
We're good. Well,
there's your Baptist trivia.
Yeah,
for the
that
day.
Was not good. I forgot.
Interesting, though. Very interesting.
It is.
Yeah. It really is.
Next week, we will talk about
the issues.
You'll be zooming in.
Zoom them in from my hotel in Dallas and
live there on the scene.
Live on the scene.
Okay. Yes.
You might see Steve Brennan in the background because he's going.
Okay. You will be in a cowboy hat.
I don't think
really?
No.
You gotta be. It's in Texas.
Oh, come on. I should have brought Justin.
Some boots.
He'd be dancing in the sky. He'd be line dancing.
I'm allowed if I'm on stage.
There better be line dancing at the SBC.
The Hotel of the Omni. You know what the best?
It is culturally insensitive if there is not line dancing at the SBC.
You know what the best perk of being on the executive committee is?
What?
So our church pays my way because our church can. You know, the EC members, if your church wouldn't normally send you, your cost is covered. But since our church normally sends me, so we pay for this, so no controversy. But on the day that the hotel's open, it is like crazy. Like you go in, like hotels open at 8, you go online, you're like 470th in line.
Oh, man.
But the EC just book they just book our hotels for us.
So, okay.
Again, I have to pay for it, but I get one close to the convention and don't have to deal with that.
Special privilege. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well,
man, in New Orleans, by the time we got there, we were like drenched in sweat.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so hot. It was
that was a nice hotel, though.
It was a very nice hotel, but we were like swimming through the air.
Yeah.
It was
It's
going to
be hot in Texas, too.
So. But not that humid.
New Orleans is humid.
Yeah. The food's better in New Orleans.
A good cowboy hat will keep your face protected from the elements. So I'm just saying. There's going to be a lot of cowboy hats. There's just going
to
be a lot of
Chris
people.
Tessinger.
Please take some pictures if you see any cowboy hats at the, at the convention center.
I will do that.
All right. That sounds good. Well, if you have any questions that you want us to answer on Boggy Talk, you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Pew, pew, pew. That's the guns shooting off the table.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.